This is Sunday morning, 6:08:25. We're going to have the Prophet's Corner first. The title of this is The Elect. You see, in Genesis 2 and 3, God made man. God made him and put him in the garden to keep it. And then chapter 3, we see the devil come along and sabotage it and rip it away. This is what the Lord began to speak to me. The earth was given to man to tend it and to keep it. Then why do most in the church want to escape it? They want to escape because they have not obeyed the Lord and have not tended or kept it like God said to do. Now it is so bad that it is trickling down the stairs and oozing in from every nook and cranny. What was to be tended and kept is now broken down and in ruins. This is the devil's game, to kill, steal, and destroy, and he has done a good job of it. Will the devil be blamed for stealing and killing and destroying? He will be punished for sure, but who was the stewardship given? Man. Now, as in other times in history, God has had to step in and stop it, or nothing would be left. The elect have been holding the line, and God is coming for them, for they have been faithful. Most, however, are waiting for an escape that will never come. We're going to look at some scriptures concerning the elect. Matthew 24 is the first one. We're going to look at two verses there. 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Then verse 31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. We know this is Revelation chapter 7, where he seals the 12 tribes. It says the angels gather from the four corners of the earth. Okay. Mark 13. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. In verse 27 there. Let me just go ahead and read from 24. And the star, let's see, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory. And then he shall send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Revelation chapter 7. Again, two accounts. Two Gospels. Luke 18:7. I don't think that's right. Let me look. Okay. It's 17, not 7. Verily I say unto you, whosoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, they shall in no wise enter therein. Maybe it wasn't that one. I'm not sure. Okay, let's keep going. Romans 8. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Okay. Colossians 3. Starting with verse 12 there. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell on you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Okay, let's keep going. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness. 1 Peter 1, verse 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And one more, 2 John 1:1 and then verse 13 here. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And then 13, wait a minute, I'm in 1 John, sorry, 2 John. 2 John 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. And then 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. What is the elect? It means select or favorite. The flood of God's wrath is sweeping them all away. Go back to 24, Matthew. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the fields, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, we've talked before about he's going to come as a thief to the wicked, but not to the righteous. We're expecting him. We're looking for him. Okay, let me keep going here. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The current operation that's been going on for some time now, that we've been talking about for years now, the world, or the church world, is really oblivious to. The ones that really should be paying attention, the ones that have really been given a commission, they're not paying attention. But it won't be long for judgment begins in the house of God first. Okay, 2 Peter. Chapter 2. But there were false prophets, verse 1, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, or bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of wrath shall be evil spoken of, or way of truth, sorry, shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with unfeigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be rendered unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Those on the hill building the ark are spurned, and no one wants to listen. The world and the church are spinning, trying to figure out what to do. They're just a toiling and a spinning. They don't know what to do. A lot of them are just bashing the president, as if they really had a clue. Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come upon thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Well, we already talked about last time about what that is. That's the commission. The operation to cleanse the earth has been going on now for years. God's swift judgment is sweeping all that offends out of his kingdom. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Start with 24 there. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Okay, go to, let's see. Well, I'm going to keep going. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it grows, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of God is like unto leaven, which the woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Okay, let me see where else. Okay, let's keep going. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the sower of Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Should be this age, really. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, not the people of God, but those that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I tell you what, the church has fallen all over this one. They have it just the opposite. They're wanting out of here. I want to go to heaven. Well, God didn't give us heaven. He gave the earth to man to inherit. Okay, let's keep going here. 44 of the same. No, wait a minute. Yeah, 44. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So it shall be at the end of the world, or the age, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said, have you understood these things? And they said, yes, Lord. The church has not understood these things. They think, no, he's coming to gather us to take us home. You know, we're just a sojourner here. No, we're not. Yeah, that's in the Faith Hall of Fame. But Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. That's the New Jerusalem. Okay. He is gathering the elect together for the rest of his show. This is Revelation chapter 14. I told you it's in 7, but it's also in 14. Just a few verses here. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads, the New Jerusalem. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung a song, as it were a new song, before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The wicked have thought themselves untouchable, but God is shaking everything out, just like a tablecloth after a meal. Used to, people use tablecloths. And what you do is you clean off the table and you take the tablecloth outside and you shake it out, all the crumbs. Shaking out every crumb that has been stolen from his elect, too. He's going to gather out of everything they've stolen from us in this big tablecloth. He's going to shake it all out. He's going to give it back to us. Okay, let's go to the Old Covenant, Book of Haggai. Let me find it. There it is. Chapter 2. Start with verse 1 there. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I coveted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I have peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 4 and 20th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to a heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. But one came to the press that, for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands, but ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the fountain of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day I will bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4 and 20th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdom of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. But it appears this has been going on for generations and generations. The Lord's ready to shake out of his kingdom all that offends. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 there. But you're come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. So he's coming and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. All right. Shake here means to rock, vibrate, to agitate, cause to tremble, or throw into a tremor, like earthquakes. The blood cries out to the Lord, and there's so much that he will make a new heaven and a new earth for his elect to live in. Because that blood cries out to him, just like Abel's blood cried out to God. Okay, Revelation 21. Says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and he and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In other words, we're going back to Eden. Right, from the garden in Genesis until present day, God's plan has not changed. We were given the earth to keep it and to tend it, and it is the same today. I personally believe the rapture fallacy has caused the most damage to the church because it caused men to stop occupying and looking up for an escape. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has just gone back, and the angel's standing there with the apostles, and he tells them this. Well, let me just read. I'll start with one there. The former Christians have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud receiveth him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. In other words, quit gazing up and get up to the upper room like he told you and get empowered. Okay. They were empowered to tend and to keep what Jesus told them to do. That's the Great Commission. If we had all been diligent in doing this, we would not have had to go through all the awful stuff we are now experiencing. God's plan has not changed since the garden. We are to occupy, keep it, tend it, take the Great Commission. You can start in the Old Testament and witness that what I am saying to you is true. It's about constant wars from the enemy to take the land from God's people. The devil's bunch has stripped this earth of all resources and hidden it away. All of this is being recovered and going to be given back to us to continue God's original plan. Why has a communist nation, China, been allowed to buy up so much farmland in the U.S.? The governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, just blocked an executive order to stop this just this week. There was an executive order to stop any more purchase of, especially to China, of American land. We must maintain our position and follow the Holy Spirit in every way and cooperate with God's operation and do our best to snatch as many out of the fire as we can. 6,000 years since the fall in the garden has basically been a land grab, nothing new under the sun. Regardless of what we see, we are winning. A few more scriptures and we'll be done. Colossians 3, verse 2. It says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. 1 John 4, 4. That's our focus, is to be not what's going on in the world, but these facts. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Then John 16:33, Jesus said, we weren't to fret. He had already overcome the world. That's 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Remember, this is not God's first rodeo. He told us to hold the line. Okay, one more passage here. Revelation 16. I'll just start with verse 1 there. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial unto the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. This is what I believe is going on right now. It may not look like it. Satan has an agenda to best God and sit in God's throne. So many of the movies reflect this agenda that we've seen. War of the Worlds is about sucking out every drop of blood from humanity. This man that saw what he did there in Tennessee, he said, "We are a farm to them." In other words, we're just there for them to sap our blood, take our organs, do whatever they want to us. A farm, like cattle to be harvested. Okay. And cowboys and aliens, they farmed humans like we farm cattle for food. All of this has been in our face all of our lives, but thank God we woke up and now we have to take our stand and keep it. God's will is being reflected in his power. Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as in heaven." Why would he tell us to pray that prayer if he doesn't mean it literally? The Lord has told us that the devil is on a leash, reflective of Revelation 20. He has already been subdued. Jesus did that at the cross. I'm sure that angel follows the devil around everywhere. And the Lord says, we used him for that purpose, hooking back up to his leash like a dog. Think about it. He's on a leash. God has said that to us before. He is not out there just doing his havoc and just doing his thing whenever he wants to, whatever he wants to do. He's on a leash. That angel's been following him around since Jesus went to the cross. That's Revelation 20, verse 1, 2, and 3, where it talks about the devil with a chain. Keep that image of Satan like a dog on a leash. The one in charge is God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He made the earth for his man, and we are his man. Okay, a couple more scriptures in Hebrews, and we're just about done with this. I just chuckled whenever the Lord gave me that. I thought, Lord, you're right. I hadn't seen it in that way before, but that angel's just following him around. Okay, hook him back up. He did what we told him to do, his purpose. He's been subdued. Jesus stripped him. Then why would we glorify him like he's some big something? Hebrews 11:7. For by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. God moved him to do so. Start with verse 8 here. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, God's so much greater. The devil's not anything. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Repeatedly throughout biblical history, we see this playing out. The devil steals the land, and God makes a way to recover the land. Back in 2016, I asked the Lord why everything was in such a mess, and he said, because I'm cleaning out the closets of the earth. Lots of deep closets in the earth with lots of atrocities in them. Last year before the election, it showed President Trump with an orange vest on, riding in a brand new trash truck, symbolic for sure. God is taking out the trash.